Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine Exterior is Dutch Boy's most durable exterior paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Right here onto the early line. Hour number 2 on the grid. Dane Martinez and, of course, the candle burner, Kevin Walsh. Kev, we talked about week 2 as a bloodbath, right? There were so many injuries. And there's a couple of games where, like, these heavily hit and injured teams are playing each other. And so I want to look at that because, yeah, remember when it was coronavirus and we were like, what is it going to be if 3 guys on this side are out and 1 guy on this side is out? How do we evaluate them? How do the algorithms figure that? And I believe we have something in that when the Carolina Panthers go to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. The Chargers are 6.5-point favorites in this game. The total stands at 43.5. Now, on the Carolina side, Christian McCaffrey is down, right? He's on IR. Mike Davis is the pivot. If you trust that, that's an interesting value in DFS this week as well. But the more interesting one may be on the other side of the ball with the Los Angeles Chargers, that we know that the Chargers doctor punctured Tyrod Taylor's lung, so he's out indefinitely. And the kid is in there. Justin Herbert, who by all accounts looked good in relief duty against the Chiefs last week. Now the Carolina Panthers are preparing for Herbert. Do you think it matters? Do you think it looks different for the Chargers this week?
I think this is a spot where I wonder, as we get closer to kickoff, you know, we said watch for the hook. Could this get to 7? Herbert impressed against the defending Super Bowl champions. The Panthers are a team that a lot of people would like to pick on. I lean Carolina here. I think that they can keep this game tight. We always talk about games where the spread could come into play. I think that's possible. I also think Carolina could, though, get an outright upset win here. It wouldn't surprise me. But I'm just going to play this game over 43.5. A Panthers game? 43.5? Thank you very much. I will be playing this game over.
Yeah, I see you on that one. Remember, in my Diamonds and Fugazis this week, I talked about Teddy Bridgewater becoming a volume thrower, right? Even without the loss of Christian McCaffrey, he was putting it up last week. And I think that defense that the Panthers have put them in negative game scripts early on in games. But I'm with you, Kevin, as well. The back door could be open in this one. Remember, week 1, they had that home dog situation. They were getting 3. They lost by 4 in a back-and-forth game with the Raiders. In week 2, they were, I believe, 8.5 or 9-point dogs to Tampa Bay, were within that working margin. And then Leonard Fournette at the very end, when they weren't even trying to score anymore, broke off a last touchdown run to make that working margin cover the spread for Tampa. So I agree with you. That could be the case. What do you feel about one of my strongest opinions of the week as it relates to Teddy Bridgewater being a volume thrower? I'm going to be very interested in the attempts prop for Teddy Bridgewater. Without CMC, I know Mike Davis was in the passing game, but I think all of a sudden we're going to start to see all of these wide receivers. And during the week, the Panthers were even saying they wanted to get Curtis Samuel more involved. I think we see more Samuel, Robbie Anderson, even a little Ian Thomas if available in this week. I think they're throwing.
I mean, I think that they should be, but is Curtis Samuel, when they say they want to get him more involved, is that in the pass game or the run game? Because that's the one thing that's worried me a bit. Well, that worries me a bit, though, from the Mike Davis standpoint, that we think we're just walking on into RB1 touches and all of a sudden.
I didn't say that. I actually think this is going to be a pass-happy team. I think Mike Davis will be the guy, right? But I don't know. I think they go more pass-heavy. I'm not saying he's an RB1 in any stretch. He may be. I said he may be a value in DFS because of the way he's priced. They still price Christian McCaffrey on FanDuel at 10,000 and Mike Davis in the 5,000s. You know, that's why, relatively speaking.
Yeah, no, listen, and I get that. I wasn't trying to say that you said he was going to be an RB1. Yeah, I'm just talking about RB1 level touches, right? At the end of the day, he had 8 catches last week. If Curtis Samuel's making it happen, I don't love it.
Yeah, fair enough. As we welcome in our radio audience from around the country, thanks for spending the morning with us here on the Early Line. Kev, you know, the Christian McCaffrey injury on one side, the just weird Tyrod Taylor situation, that's one injury game. This other one may even be more weird when it comes to injuries, Kev. It's the San Francisco 49ers who stay on the East Coast and have to play in MetLife Stadium against the New York Giants. They were there last week. They didn't like the turf. Remember that back and forth? A number of 49ers got hurt last week from their starting quarterback, Jimmy G, two of their running backs, two of the studs on the defensive line, Bosa and Thomas. And now they go back to this horror show turf for them. The NFL has approved it. But then on the other side, Saquon Barkley is down. Sterling Shepard is down. So, again, how do we evaluate when both of these teams are so compromised? Kittle practicing in a limited basis, but there's also talk that because of their fears of the turf, they may hold him out another week as well.
Man, this game is something else here, Dane. A part of me is tempted to make this the only game I bet from the entire 1 o'clock slate, take advantage of being here in New York, and just watching it in its entirety and either enjoying it or being as frustrated as I've ever been. But there's no... What is the argument for the Niners laying 3.5 on the road with 8 of their top starters missing? I just don't think we can stress this enough. Their number one corner, their defensive player of the year candidate. We've also got Solomon Thomas. We've also got D. Ford. No George Kittle. No Deebo Samuel. No Raheem Mostert. No Tevin Coleman. And, oh, by the way, their starting quarterback. Would they have been laying 10? Would they have been laying 10 to the Giants? Like, no. They would have not been laying 10.
They were laying 7 to the Jets last week, right? A full 7 to the Jets last week.
Way worse on power ratings than the New York Giants. Way worse on power ratings. Now, ultimately, they covered that game against the Jets. I mean, they just sleptwalked to a cover. Mostert just opened up the game. He was like, here's 80 to the house. Thanks for coming.
Are the Giants even worse, though, Kev? You know, Saquon Barkley, not there. No. Their number one wide receiver in Sterling Shepard, not there. I'm with you. Give me the home dog if it's more than 3, okay? I'll take it if it's more than the field goal as well, but I'm just trying to get into the minds of the book. I mean, both of these teams are heavily compromised. It could just be a stay away because so much is up in the air. More games to talk when we come back on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
This is Sports Grid. Agree.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Right here onto the early line, Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh burning the candle at both ends. We got more games to discuss here, Kev, on a Football Friday. Recently, in the last segment, you were trying to relate the Niners point spread, you know, week two on that field against the Jets, a bottom five team, and then week three on that field against the Giants, another team that people don't necessarily think are anything to write home about. But, Kev, you know, many people have said that after 2 weeks, it looks like the Jets are the worst team in all of football. We had that when we had our guy Jay, the Sports Cake CEO, come on yesterday. He said that they were 32 in his power index. And the Jets are the biggest underdog on the slate in week three. Remember when we did Watch for the Hook earlier this week? At that point, it was 10.5. It is now 11.5, a full point here. 44 is the total. You know, this profiles to me, we talked about this, Kev, that the Colts aren't really asking Phillip Rivers to do too much. They do have the run game led by Jonathan Taylor. We'll see if Nyheim Hines gets a little bit more involved. I believe this may be the Colts hopping in, hopping out, workmanlike effort, getting the job done. My question for you is 11.5 too big of a number?
It is a very, very big number. I want to respond with a question, though, and I'm going to somewhat put you on the spot here, but the question is almost designed for you not to have a quick answer. Oh, who are the three most talented Jets that are available for this team going into this game?
The three most talented on the offensive side of the ball?
Just in general.
In general?
Anywhere.
Sure. Sure. Quinnen Williams is one on the defensive line. I believe their quarterback, Sam Darnold, is two. And then, you know, I'll give you whoever the best offensive lineman is. Because it ain't anybody at a skill position, Kev, because Braxton Berrios is profiling to be the number one wide receiver for this team on Sunday.
Right, so, Mekhi Becton. So, basically,
year their two defensive draft pick tackles. This year, yeah. Their first-round draft pick last year, and their first-round draft pick the year before that. That's what I'm going with, Kev.
And, like, I don't think you're wrong, but, like, goodness gracious, this team is terrible. Now, we've seen this movie before. Two weeks, a team looks like they'll never win another game. And then they show up and slaughter survivor pools. I almost think that it might be a good rule of thumb for us to never get involved in the spot that is going to eat up all of your survivor pools. Now, funny enough, a lot of people probably don't have the Colts left in their survivor pool. That's because they're out of their survivor pool and took them week one against the Jags. I mean, this is the survivor pool pick of survivor pool picks. But guess what? That's what the Vikings were against the Bills two or three years ago. Knocked me out. Knocked everybody else out. I just don't think it's necessary. Look, we're doing a pick show. We're doing a preview show. I get it. It is so unnecessary to bet this game. The Jets deserve to be 11.5-point dogs. Maybe they deserve to be 14-point dogs. But I'm not going to lay 11.5 or 14 or whatever this number finishes at with Phillip Rivers. I think the total's interesting, though. The Jets seemingly do enough. They'll throw enough to give you enough points to where their defense is so bad, we should be able to get over a 44. And I also think Jonathan Taylor fits the description that we described Derrick Henry with last week. You're going to want to bet his overs with the caveat of if the book is prepared for that and they're posting triple digits on the number, then you're going to have to take a step back.
Yeah, you mentioned Jonathan Taylor. He's a guy I have my eyes on as well. He is third in the NFL among rookies in scrimmage yards so far this year, behind, obviously, the running back we saw last night, Robinson, and Chiefs running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I have no idea, Kev, how the Jets are going to hold up to their end of the bargain. You know, but, right, with a total of 44, 27-17. Get you right to 44, and that's not an 11-point margin, unfortunately. Another place where we're going to have to understand what does this team look like with the injuries is the Denver Broncos, Kev. The Denver Broncos welcomed the Tampa Bay Bucks in, right? And backup quarterback, we don't know what they're at the running back position. Melvin Gordon, that's it. The wide receiver position has been eviscerated with Cortland Sutton now out for the year. The Broncos defense is a team that's been banged up. Remember Von Miller already out. AJ Bouye, the good cornerback, goes down as well. I think it's going to be very tough for the Denver Broncos. That is why they are home dogs by 5.5. That's sort of in no man's land. Let me ask you this as it relates to this Tampa Bay side. Are they just going to get better and better offensively as the year goes along, as Tom Brady gets familiarity with these weapons, and as they continue to unleash, shall we say, Leonard Fournette? Will he assume to be the lead back here?
And as they continue to get healthy. Mike Evans was out there just to confuse Marshawn Lattimore in week one. Chris Godwin
out of the cold, dark, quiet room.
We all get excited about Scotty Miller's dropping touchdown passes, right, that are messing everything up here. I said that the Patriots, right, one of my two favorite bets on the board. This is the other one. I think that the Bucks, call it the Brady Belichick reunion special, I think the Bucks are going to roll this Denver Broncos team. Again, it was a spot that set up perfectly for us. Jeff Driscoll hung around against that Steelers defense. Now he's home. Denver, tough place to win. What else do you expect to happen? They're going to keep this game tight. Tampa Bay looked awful week one. They were lucky to backdoor cover the Panthers in week two. They're going to roll this team. This Bucs defense continues to be underrated. Jeff Driscoll's going to be in for a nightmare of a day. They've lost Cortland Sutton. Phillip Lindsay won't be available for this team. You're relying on Melvin Gordon, who is not that great of a running back, can give you some production, but not that great of a back. Jerry Jeudy, who I love. We're still talking about a rookie wide receiver. Noah Fant's been awesome, but the Bucs have good linebackers, and the Bucs are going to be ready for that. And on the defensive side of the ball, they lost AJ Bouye. We know they lost Von Miller. This is going to be the healthiest that the Bucs offense has looked. You know Brady was going to want to go into Denver, no matter who's the quarterback, no matter who's the coach, no matter what, and look to put up numbers and put up points. I think the Bucs roll Denver this week. I have no issues laying this 5.5.
All right, fair enough. I want to press you on a couple of players involved if the game script goes the way it sounds like you think, right? So on the Denver side, you mentioned Noah Fant, who, by the way, is one of only three tight ends so far who does have a touchdown in both games this season. He may be a place to pivot in the pass game or maybe a value in DFS. There's also another rookie wide receiver on Denver, Kev, who I know you're on as well, in KJ Hamler. Right. And he is someone who had 48 yards, I believe, receiving last week. And he may have a bigger role, as we see here. You know, they're going to have Jeudy on one side. Don't forget about another rookie. Where do you think it goes, especially if you think Tampa's rolling them? This could be garbage time production for guys like Fant, like Hamler. Would you buy into that?
Yeah, no, I don't mind that at all. I don't think Fant, though, is a buy low guy.
Value. Right. Like, no, he's known already. He's known. Hamler, however, is only on 4% of rosters.
Yeah, and I think that there's a very realistic chance that Fant might have the highest receiving yards prop on the Broncos side of the ball anyway. So I'd rather play the Jeudy, and I'd rather play the Hamler side of that role. I definitely think that you're spot on with that. And here's the interesting thing with this Bucs team, though, is something that you kind of were starting with here is, what does the backfield look like? You know, Ronald Jones.
That's what I want to see too.
Did he start to get out snapped because of a miscommunication with Brady on a fumble? Is this just talent eventually, you know, kind of rising to the top here? I mean, look, they were kind of having comparable games, and then Fournette does. This is something that Leonard Fournette will do. You want me to ice a game? Yeah, here's how I'm going to ice it.
I'm going to score. Mm-hmm. I'm going to rip off a 40-yarder, and that's what I'm going to do, and that's what he did last week. And that's how he had 12 carries for triple digits and two scores. What this backfield looks like, does Ronald Jones get carry number one, or does Leonard Fournette get carry number one?
No, that is definitely something I'm going to look at. I do believe Leonard Fournette is like kind of slow burn leapfrogging Ronald Jones. And by the way, Kev, Leonard Fournette had his career high rushing yards, 225, as a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars in September last year against the Denver Broncos. So keep an eye on Leonard Fournette. He has his all-time best game against this defense. I think what you said, you know, the cream is just rising to the top. I think Leonard Fournette is going to be the back. Remember I told you Bruce Arians was just being nice with Ronald Jones's ego, what he was getting early on. I think that is going to continue to come to pass. Hamler as an underneath threat with a negative game script looks good too. We got more games to discuss, but the news update is up next here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, I'm Dr. David Chow, a.k.a. Pro Football Doc. I spent 17 years on an NFL sideline with the Chargers as a head team physician, and I can tell you teams don't want to tell you the whole story. That's where I come in. I know what they're trying to tell you and trying not to tell you. I know how to assess injuries and how it will impact players and teams that week. Come check out ProFootballDoc.com. You can't make a bet or set a fantasy lineup without coming to consult with us at ProFootballDoc.com.
Welcome back in, everybody, right here onto the early line on the grid, giving you the edge. Dane Martinez and my main man, Kevin Walsh here. We also welcome back our radio audience from around the country. Thanks for listening to us bright and early on a football Friday, especially the mightier 1090 out there on the West Coast. Kev, remember when I said with Miles Sanders that there's a couple of prop bets that I'm just going to keep betting until I lose them, you know, and see how much they move up? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, one of them is going to be Kyler Murray's rushing prop. It was at 30.5 last week. I took it, and I think they're in a tough spot. I think they're in the same spot that they were in with, like, Lamar Jackson last year, right? They can't raise it up to, like, 60. You know what I mean? But I'm going to bet it all the time. The other question I have for you, Kev, because you have been talking about DeAndre Hopkins, right? He leads the NFL in receptions with 22, is the best in NFL history through first two games with a new team, that total. So I ask you, with this total also at 55.5, Kev, why would I not have a Kyler Murray DeAndre stack in DFS this week?
Well, the Lions' run defense is terrible, and last week Devontae Adams let people down, and Aaron Jones was
he got hurt
the
in the game. He pulled his hamstring.
He still played a lot of the game.
Okay, I mean,
and had three catches for 30 yards. I mean, basically last week in the first quarter, he gave you a week in the first quarter against the Vikings, and then against the Lions, it was the Aaron Jones show.
Do you expect regression from this Kyler D-Hop combo? You're giving me one.
Why.
Do you believe in the reason you're espousing?
I don't know, though, because here's the thing about Patricia. He's terrible. But he does come from the Bill tree. And I do think there's something to be said about, again, this very interesting concept, if you will, of let's take away what teams are good at. And, you know, Patricia's going to give that a shot as well.
So if I were to tell you that Matt Patricia,
what are you taking away then?
Power, it's Kyler Murray. The thing is, this isn't hard, by the way. Like it just drives me crazy. And again, it's not you that I'm frustrated at, because you are right to pose it. It's just outrageous that like Matt Patricia's like, what should we take away? Kenyon Drake, you think? Like, but. Odds are,
because right? Here's the thing. Wait, hold on a second, Kev. Because and this is where the catch happens. This is where guys like Lamar Jackson, Cam Newton, to quote unquote take him away. What does that mean? Put a spy on him? Kyler Murray ran for 20, 25 yards a chunk, making people lose their ankles. You could try to quote unquote take him away, but that's where the natural athleticism comes in, right?
I mean, yes, right. Which is why he's incredibly talented. But it doesn't mean you just don't do anything and then keep letting him rip off 20-yard rushing touchdowns. Like, okay. No, we're going to play contain, and we're going to have to send creative blitzes, and we're going to have to do everything we can to try and pray DeAndre Hopkins doesn't beat us into submission. I don't know if it's going to work, but
right.
At the end of the day, like, you're showing up here, right, with your helmet and your pads, and that's what your focus has to be.
Okay. Like,
if we leave this game, we go, Kenyon Drake beat him. So be it then. So be it. But, like, if we leave this game and we go, hey, man, can you believe DeAndre Hopkins, 15 grabs, buck 60, two scores, Kyler rushed another one in for 80. What did you show up for, man? What did you expect here? Right? So,
right.
And again, he's supposed to be a defensive head coach. I think the one thing with this game, though, is, Dane, and kind of what we just did in that spot, when you're looking at the slate, I think it is very important to try and play devil's advocate. No matter how much you like a side, ask yourself why someone might like the other side. And right. Maybe you don't talk yourself into the other side. You might at least talk yourself out of the game. And I will tell you this. The Arizona Cardinals are going to be a team that people will love this week. Teasers, Survivor, how could they right. possibly lose to the dreadful Detroit Lions? Here's the one thing I will tell you. The Lions have had double-digit leads now in each of their first two games. That is a real thing. They're getting back their best skill position player in Kenny Golladay. And I think if they're able to jump out to a double-digit lead in this game in the way that they have the past 2 weeks, they might finally be able to hold on to one.
All right, you mentioned Kenny Golladay looks poised to return for the Detroit Lions as well. Golladay, and it would be so nice. But talk to me about these Lions running backs, right? Because you got Adrian Peterson, the you know, old faithful there, Kerryon Johnson as well, and the rookie DeAndre Swift, who I think has been involved more in the receiving game, right, in the pass game. But my question for you, Kev, this total is 55.5, okay?
Right.
So, you know, and we talk to guys like Colin Drew and Drew Dinkmeyer, and they always say that, like, you come back on him also in a stat game, right? So if you have Kyler Murray and you have DeAndre Hopkins, do you not also maybe come back and get shares of, say, a Marvin Jones as well? Like, do you expect Detroit to, as I like to say, hold up to their end of the bargain?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't see why the Lions just don't go out there and have Stafford throw the ball 45 times.
Right.
And just do everything. Like, look, you're going to mix the run game in, sure, right? But I just you've got Golladay back. Attack them down the field. Because Terry McLaurin had a big game last week. 7 grabs, 125, and a score. Now, that a lot of it, you know, came in the second half, garbage time as they were down, okay. But it's a spot here where Matt Stafford, you know, you kind of talk about, Dan, a little bit, some guys in DFS. He's on the lower end of quarterback prices.
That is interesting to me.
He's someone that stood out to me.
Yeah, no, I like that. And a game with a 55.5 point total, and we see potentially Detroit with a negative game script, I would not be surprised if Stafford has a 5 as the first number of his attempts in this game. You want to say something else on this one?
Yeah, I want to actually make this point about the Lions and the same thing with the Falcons. If you're these two teams moving forward, you pretty much can never take your foot off the gas pedal after what you've now seen from the first
two absolutely.
Games, right? Like, especially if you're the Detroit Lions, right? Blowing that fourth quarter lead.
Sure.
You did, right? And then getting up 14. Like, so that's something that I think should be real for those two teams that, you know, even if we start to say to ourselves, game script, right? Oh, the Lions might be in front. Okay, well, or the Falcons might be in front. Todd Gurley, No, throw the football. Be up by 28 points in the fourth quarter and still keep throwing the football. Now, I don't know if these teams will necessarily do that, but I know they should.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, this idea, because no lead is safe. And we saw that, obviously, you mentioned the Atlanta Falcons as well after their game against Dallas last week. Kev, you know, this Kyler Murray and Cardinals offense has been dynamic. We talk about what Seattle and Russell Wilson is doing, right? We know about the Chiefs. We know about the Ravens. But it's the Green Bay Packers that have the number one offense in football right now, Kevin. After 2 weeks, they have scored 80-plus points in total. They're literally the fourth best offense in NFL history to this point, okay? So talk to me, because they go into the Dome now to see New Orleans on Sunday Night Football. The Saints are laying 3. We've got another high total at 52.5. But, you know, the spotlight, Kevin, this injuries have been on Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley, the number one and two running backs in fantasy. Well, guess what? In this game, the number one and two wide receivers in fantasy may not make it onto the field in Michael Thomas and Devontae Adams. We saw what the Saints looked like on Monday Night Football without Michael Thomas. What do you think this number one offense in the NFL is going to look like without potentially Devontae Adams? There's some who may think, Alan Lazard, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. But to your point earlier in the show, maybe the Packers just, you know, turn the ball and hand it off a little bit more to Aaron Jones, who right now is like the number one player in all of fantasy football.
So this is very interesting to me. Look, I love Rodgers, but you're going to want to have Devontae Adams, and I don't think he's going to have Devontae Adams. We've kind of talked throughout this show about who are the guys that have dominated through 2 weeks that are going to kind of come back to the pack a little bit. Now, that way their numbers can average out. And that's Aaron Jones. Like, I will not bet him to score a touchdown this week. He might. He might. But I'm not doing it, because it's going to be a big minus number anyway. So, and then you look at the Saints side of things. Boy, did they miss, it feels like, Michael Thomas last week. The thing for the Saints, though, is they've been pretty poor through the first 2 weeks of the regular season, you know, dating back now the last 5+ years. They're only laying 3 at home. They looked awesome in the Dome week 1. I know Michael Thomas was there for that game, but he didn't do much in that game. This is a spot where we're likely buying low in the Saints. I don't love it, because Green Bay's looked awesome through 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We're probably getting a discount on a New Orleans team that week 1 looked great in this building, and that might just be the case here in week number 3.
Let me ask you something about this, okay? Because the Packers, Kev, have over 1,000 yards of offense in 2 games, okay? And stay with me in this scenario, right? No Devontae Adams, let's say, for another week or 2. And the Packers continue to have this kind of offense, okay?
Yeah.
I look at Aaron Rodgers right now at 11-1, Kevin, for the NFL MVP. Russell Wilson getting a ton of hype. Right? And deserved. You know how I feel about Russell Wilson. Lamar Jackson, Patty Mahomes, they're going to be there, right? Mm-hmm. But, Kev, this is also being a all-time offense right now. 2 games, don't get me wrong. Small sample size, right? But sure. Is there a path to Aaron Rodgers and straight up, like, you know, oh, you drafted my replacement in the first round? Let me show you, and actually come out as an MVP candidate. These Packers are 2-0. The Vikings, who are in that division, have not performed well, are 0-2. And Aaron Rodgers is now, is he value at 11-1?
I mean, I would never bet the Russell Wilson number, which is outrageous.
Okay, Rodgers is 11-1 right now, the fourth choice. Fourth choice, 11-1 for Rodgers.
Yeah, I think it's a good number, right? The question becomes, can I just play Green Bay on the money line and a lot of these Rodgers props this week and not tie my money up? Because the MVP market through 2 weeks, man, tough to have a great grasp of it. But I can't argue with 11-1 when there are a lot of these other guys are, you know, cutting half of that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, another thing, like you said, tying your money up that long, Aaron Rodgers will have to stay healthy for another 14 games as well. More when we come back on the Early Line.
Sports SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Right here onto the early line on Sports Grid, Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh. And Kev, we have discussed all of the games in the NFL on Sunday. So I know we got to talk a little bit of NBA and LeBron for you, Kev. And that's what we do now, because the Los Angeles Lakers did, in fact, get a victory last night, 114-108 against the Denver Nuggets, putting the Nuggets in the familiar 3-1 hole for them. I want to ask you about this. Kev, one of my biggest takeaways, I know we talked about this going into this game, was, you know, talk about some fouls and the way LeBron was even like being officiated. And now I look at the box score and Anthony Davis got to the line 14 times. LeBron James got to the line 14 times, right? As a team, they get their 35, you know, 20 of 23 on the other side for the Nuggets. But the fact that Davis and LeBron get to the line a combined 28 times in a 6-point game, I think is interesting. What were the biggest takeaways from you in game four?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that were, I don't know if they were surprised, annoyed by the free throws. It shouldn't have been surprised. Shouldn't have been surprised one bit. There's been the same amount of free throws taken by these two teams through four games. As much as everybody is trying to cry wolf on the officials, the Lakers were called for 25 fouls. The Nuggets were called for 28. It's not that big of a gap. And I don't know why people are so caught off guard by two of the five best players in the world who consistently shoot their shots at the basket going to the line a bunch. Like, you should be surprised when LeBron doesn't shoot 10 free throws in a spot like this. Not the other way around. The foul stuff is just whatever. People want to get caught up in it and lose the fun that is this game. Fine. This is an exciting game, man. It really was. And I can't even lie to you. Where I start, Jamal Murray. Because what a display from him. No, seriously. I mean, 32 points, 12 of 20 from the field. Just the shots that he was hitting. Everybody was with the reverse layup. There was the fadeaway to baseline right-handed floater. Yeah. There was the spinning falling on his head left-handed floater. I mean, he was just hitting circus shots, and everything that left his hand was going in. I mean, it was Jamal Murray is a guy, Dan, that you and I have talked about a lot about moving up the ranks.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other day to myself, I was starting to piece together what the top 20 might look like. And I don't know where he fits into that group, but plays like this, man, it makes this guy hard to deny. He's been awesome for this team.
You know, and Kev, and obviously we should talk about the Lakers, right? Because the Lakers are the team that are up 3-1. But, you know, I have asked you about Jamal Murray in the past, right? And does he ascend to be like a top 5 point guard in the NBA? And I also asked you, you know, we have that big three concept, the Batman and Robin concept. I remember also asking you, tell me better duos in the NBA besides Murray and Jokic, right? And if you're going to consider potentially Murray and Jokic to both be top 20 players in the NBA, they have to be in the conversation. I remember you also asking me, Kev, as it related to the Nuggets, like, did they have to win that game 7 against the Clippers to kind of advance, right, in the public perception, have that moral victory? So I honestly believe they're 3-1 now, and I don't know if they're going to be able to come back from 3-1 for a third time in the same playoffs, right? But before we talk about the Lakers, like, we have to respect this Denver Nuggets team led by one of the best duos in the NBA, Kev.
And look, this is a series that it's 3-1, and this is kind of what I was saying to you about this series, right? Where I was like, look, it's a bad matchup for Denver. The Lakers are going to win this series. But it doesn't mean that it was a slight to Denver, who, through four games, has been competitive. They've been right there in the mix in three of these four games, obviously with the one win under their belt. So, and a lot of people now have been talking about it, Dane, in the way that, you know, people were kind of hoping if they crossed that threshold. Man, this team ain't going anywhere. Jokic is 25. Murray's 23. And I don't know if people feel like we're talking about this series as if it's over, which maybe is disrespectful to them. I mean, the series is over. But they it's just one of the things where, because we always start on the Lakers side of it, and I wanted to give Denver their credit in this spot, because it, and it, you know, it's odd how it works out. Now Murray, who played, you know, a fantastic
game, is the minus eight. Yeah.
Right. Like it's crazy how that stuff works. But I leave this game, man. And cause you've been talking to me about this duo and where do they rank? Right. And with performances like this, at the end of the day, when you put those lists together, a lot of times it has to do with trust and the postseason and where I can trust you in the postseason. And they're earning that trust on a nightly basis.
Yeah, I absolutely think kind of their comebacks from 3-1, remember, down double digits in elimination games left and right. Like, and remember, they won game sevens last year as well, you know, and we believe there's a potentially ascending Michael Porter, give him another year. And what I truly wonder, Kev, is if Denver, like, gets through that kind of glass ceiling perception-wise, will they start to, like, attract a free agent? You know, that could be a key cog for them moving forward. You know, I think people will have to wonder, maybe I want to go to Denver to be that third, right? Like a like an Oladipo type. Who knows? Well, but let's talk about the Lakers here now. Have they figured it out? Are they rolling? You think they put them to bed? Because, I mean, Denver has come back from 3-1 before.
They sure have. Here's the thing with the Lakers and why they're the best team in the league. Their ability to be versatile. Their ability to adapt. Dwight Howard got the start in this game, not JaVale McGee.
Yeah.
Dwight Howard, you know, I think had 8 and 8 in the first quarter. He only played 23 minutes, was a plus 7, and gave this team 12 points, 11 rebounds, and most importantly, Dane, 6 offensive rebounds. A lot of second chance points for the Lakers in this game, and that's what they needed to see after being dominated on the glass. It, you know, 12 offensive rebounds as a team in the game. That's what this team needed to do, and that's what this team has the ability to do. Because last round, Dwight didn't play. JaVale got pushed out of the starting lineup for Markieff Morris. And then Markieff Morris only shows up, and I mean, he fouls out in 17 minutes of work. Lakers are fine. That's what this team has the ability to do. You know what you're going to get from the two pillars. In this series, again, because of the matchup, AD's shown up. He's given you 30, and that's what he's done. LeBron, no matter who you're playing, is going to give you 27, 8, and 8, and give you 26, 8, and 9. Like, that's
right.
What he's going to do. KCP has stepped up, and he's been good for this team in spots. Rondo, the plus-minus isn't kind to him, but the numbers are there, and he played a good enough game for this team. And ultimately, we're seeing that there's actually balance in a roster that everybody felt was completely tilted on its head, because the other pieces are versatile and they open different avenues for this Lakers team to adjust to any opponent that they play.
All right. And so, Kev, the next time we talk on Monday morning, we'll see if the Lakers have, in fact, put the Denver Nuggets to sleep, or if they kind of stay alive the way they have in the last two series in a row. We will see how that one winds up. Over in the Eastern Conference, though, Kev, we may also have the finals participants set by the time we talk on Monday as well, because tonight, Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals will pit the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. Miami has a 3-1 lead. We were asking about what are the adjustments there at play, but it's ironic. The Celtics are favored to remain in this series, Kev. At last check, they are 3.5-point favorites for this game. 213 is the total, and I've been asking you about these totals based on the team defense that both of these guys play, more half-court offense and things getting tighter. Where do you go in this one? Can the Boston Celtics save their season in a series? Maybe not to the extent of Nuggets-Lakers, but this is 3-1, but these games have been tight as well.
No, they absolutely have been tight. And Boston being able to this is a series where I think it's okay to say, listen, man, game by game. I think that's fair, because if you get the next one, right, then it all comes down to game 6. And people might say, well, why is that not true for Denver? They're not going to come back from 3-1, three straight series. They're not going to do it against a team that is just a bad matchup for them, and they're not going to do it against two of the 5 best players in the world. It's not going to happen. Now, the Miami Heat have lost twice all postseason. All postseason. So to have to beat them three times in a row, yeah, it's a mountain to climb. But it's going to have to be brick by brick. Here's what I will say about, though, the total, which you have pointed to a lot in this series. It is now up to 213. It should be up to 213. These teams are starting to push the pace a bit. I look back, though, the Heat closeout games thus far in the postseason. And I guess, and when I say closeout games, maybe I'm kind of eliminating when they had the opportunity to sweep Milwaukee. Game went to overtime. It was a weird game. But the game that which they closed the series out have played stone cold unders. I don't even know if they got, I don't think either game got to 200 points. It feels like this could be a game that should peel back a bit. I think on the offensive output and just be a tighter game as both of these teams somewhat feel the pressure. Though I can't pretend that I say that with the utmost confidence because it was the second half that saw like 120 points put forward. That live total got down to 198.5 at the break, Dane, and got up then finished in the 220s. So it's a spot where I think the under's the play, but this very well could be a series that's just going to play towards the over.
Okay, let me ask you about in the prop market, which I know you've been in all playoffs long. I have one question for you on either side. Mm-hmm. On the Boston side, you know, we've talked about kind of their top end talent, right? How they have three guys, four guys you trust. So, like, I see point totals for all these dudes, right? As high as 25 for Tatum, who, by the way, went scoreless, I believe, in the first half last time around. Down to 19 for Brown and Kemba. Down to 13 for Hayward. Down to 12.5 for Marcus Smart. Where's the value on any of those scorers for the Celtics?
I have to trust Tatum right now. He had 0 points and went over it. He had 0 points in the first half and then went over his points prop. Like, what? I don't know how you do that. Donovan Mitchell did something similar to that to break my heart in a round one matchup, but he didn't have zero. He only had like six or four. Donovan Mitchell. But I think Tatum's the guy that you seemingly have to trust.
You got it, right.
From this Celtics team. Because Kemba's just not been good enough, man. Like, I've thought a number of times in this playoff, time to buy back on Kemba, and it has not been time to buy back on Kemba.
Fair enough. Then over on the Miami side, I need a hero. Tyler Hero, after 31 points and hitting five, I believe, three-pointers in game four, when also Duncan Robinson got squadouche from behind the arc, right? So I ask you all the time about these two dudes. Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero made threes. They both sit at 2.5. You want to go back to Duncan, or is Tyler Hero just going to continue this emergence as the third guy?
That's the thing with Hero now. The minutes are there to justify that play. Hard to argue with it. I'll keep Duncan in the conversation, though, and let me bring Jay Crowder back into the mix. These are two guys, though, that are shooting exclusively threes, both coming off bad shooting nights. Crowder, two games in a row, bad shooting nights. Maybe you're risking that these guys are, because of their shooting is lacking, not going to play enough minutes. But I think you might be able to buy low on them, whether it be points props or three-point markets.
Yeah, I think I might stick with this Tyler Hero because, like you said, he's getting the minutes now. The opportunity is there. We'll give you our best bets for an NFL Week 3 when we come back right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in, everybody. Right here onto the Early Line as we finish up a Football Friday. We talk a little DFS. We talk a little injuries. We talk a little fantasy. We talk a little prop bets. We talk a little totals. We talk a little sides. Kev, let's talk Survivor Pool. Okay, I am still live in mine. I had Kansas City week one. I had Pittsburgh week two. And, you know, I mean, I'm a Jets fan, but I don't see how the Jets go in there and beat Indianapolis with what they're running out, especially at the skill positions these days. I think the Colts are going to be my survivor pick for the week. I think it's like chalk and easy. And then, you know, it's kind of the emotional hedge too, right? Because if I lose that survivor bet, it means the Jets won a game, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, they'll win other. Don't do it. Don't do the Colts thing.
Don't Phillip take the Colts. Rivers, you think no, the Jets are live to win this game outright?
Here's the thing. Phillip Rivers was built in a lab to murder survivor pools. He, like, text other people that you know that were in your survivor pool about how they feel about
it. Oh, a lot of people got banged out with the Colts week one. Trust me, I'm one of like 20% of people left because of the Colts picks in week one. You're right.
Listen, I think the Colts are going to win the game. But here's the thing. You are going to be like, I don't know how many people are in the survivor pool, but you're like 80% are going to take the Colts if it happens. If it happens, Dane, it's going to be you and like six people. There's some other spots on the board that I think are
like what?
Just
give me
fine.
One. We got a minute left. Give me one.
I think the Patriots at home, because I know people don't want to go on the road. And even Philly, they're playing the Bengals. When else are you going to really want to trust Philly? The other options are going to be division games. Pick on the Bengals.
Okay, yeah, that idea of Joe Burrow on the road, and, you know, ironically, you go back to the Philadelphia Phillies, which our poll thinks is 35% of the people, Kev, still think the Philadelphia Eagles at 0-2 can make the playoffs. The leader in that poll is the Houston Texans with 53% of the vote. They've got the Pittsburgh Steelers, but then, as we've said, the schedule kind of opens up a little bit for the Texans after that stretch of at Kansas City and home for Baltimore. To start off, well, one thing I know is when we are here on Monday morning, Kev, we're going to have a lot to talk about, whether it's the NBA Finals being set, if the Cardinals are playing a doubleheader on Monday, and all the stuff from week three to look at. And by the way, week three finishes with a pretty premier Monday night football game with Kansas City and Baltimore. So we'll be here after the weekend to discuss all of it. My man, the candle burner, Kevin Walsh, and me, I'm merely Dane Martinez. Thanks for watching on Sports Grid. The morning after is up next. Have a great weekend, everybody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.